Time to check in with Scott Kleinberg. Social media has changed drastically since digital strategist Scott Kleinberg started his work in the space, and things are changing even faster now. So let's get to it and talk about the landscape. Scott, what are some of the biggest changes you're seeing now?
Morning, Bob. Well, the changes that I'm seeing, they're very much like pieces of a puzzle where everything could really be coming together to shake things up. So on the platform side, we have the continued rise of TikTok. We have Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook betting big on the metaverse, and Elon Musk potentially in a position to change Twitter into something either completely different or potentially unrecognizable.
And that right there is a lot of change, but these changes also go beyond platforms and features, don't they?
They really do, Bob. I mean, a big social media story of late involves Kanye West and some of the things that he said on social media. And some have even called it hate speech. No matter the definition, the words, they were hurtful. They were anti-Semitic. And this resulted in him being suspended on Twitter and Instagram, which, you know, they say that he violated their policies. These are the same policies that have resulted in other high-profile bans. And that does go all the way to Donald Trump. Now, here's where we start talking about wider change across this whole social media landscape. Elon Musk has been very vocal in that he doesn't agree with Donald Trump's ban. He also said he had a conversation with Kanye. So in this case, I'm definitely not alone in thinking that one of the first things Elon Musk might do under his new ownership of Twitter is reinstate people he doesn't believe should have been banned in the first place. Trump and Kanye come to mind, but there are many, many others.
So if I'm tracking what you're saying here, the return of Donald Trump and Kanye West and who knows how many other people could change Twitter, and you think not in a good way.
That's exactly right, Bob. I mean, there's two sides to everything, right? But Twitter with less hate and anger is a better Twitter, and that's what we have now. And remember that people like Trump were banned for spreading misinformation, and we already know how dangerous misinformation is. So don't get me wrong. Banning Trump and all of the others did not get rid of misinformation. It just made it spread a little slower. Change who was on the platform, and you change the platform itself. Now, interestingly, and I guess that's one word for it, Kanye West just agreed to buy the social media app Parler, which used to be popular among conservatives. And he did this right after he was banned from Instagram and from Twitter. And this particular event itself, it's not going to have any impact on the social media landscape. But to me, it's very telling. It's telling in that there's a big fight going on over what we should be able to say on social media and what we can't say.
You know, I was talking to a couple of Chicago journalists last night who are fairly active on Twitter, and they were saying to me that if Musk gets Twitter, they weren't going to be part of the platform anymore. They didn't want to be. Have you heard a lot of that?
I have heard a lot of that, and I got to tell you, Bob, it's a fascinating conversation because as someone who used to be one of those journalists and used to be on the other end of that conversation, I would say the absolute same thing. But the difficult part is you can't just stop using Twitter because of who owns Twitter. And especially when you're a journalist, we're still going to need to use the tools that get the information out to people the quickest. And right now, that is still Twitter. So as long as that's still Twitter, I think it's easy to say right now that we're not going to be using it. I feel like putting it in practice is going to be something else.
Tuesdays with Scott Kleinberg, digital media strategist, and we're talking about all these movements to change laws. That is also a part of this equation, isn't it, Scott?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, much like the unknowns of Elon Musk and Twitter, these movements are also unknown, these whole, you know, law-changing movements. State laws that aim to restrict content moderation, they're mostly conservative-led, and they are from those who say that social media is censoring voices, something they don't think social media platforms should be allowed to do, which is to decide who gets to say what. So this is on top of any changes that Elon Musk might make. But right now, we just don't know if these laws are going to be upheld by the courts. For example, Texas passed a law that a lot of people are watching. It prohibits platforms from limiting posts based on political views. So imagine if a law like that took hold in a bigger way. Social media companies would need to completely rethink their content moderation policies. Musk tweeted this a few months ago, which is really a perfect segue to this. If the citizens want something banned, then pass a law to do so. Otherwise, it should be allowed.
And we've talked a lot in the past about the current law, Section 230. Can you give us a quick explanation of that again?
Yeah, absolutely. Section 230 is part of the Communications Decency Act of 1996, and it says no provider or user of an interactive computer service shall be treated as the publisher or speaker of any information provided by another information contact provider. So in the simplest of terms, it says online platforms that host or republish speech, they're protected against laws that might otherwise be used to hold them legally responsible for that content. So any change to Section 230 is going to be a game changer. Now, there's one more thing that's really important to point out, Bob, about the Communication Decency Act and Section 230. They date back to 1996. Now, think about it. That was 26 years ago. And 26 years ago in the tech world, I mean, the Internet of 1996 is completely different, was completely different than the Internet of today. Think about this. 1996 was 8 years before the launch of Facebook. It was 10 years before Twitter came along and 14 years before Instagram. And social media really didn't exist back then. We started in 1996. We started using email and AOL. That's how far back it goes.
Wow. So updating a 26-year-old law may make sense in theory, but matching it to the Internet of today could result in some big changes, couldn't it?
It could, and that's exactly where we began, with some big changes on the horizon. Because even if we look beyond Elon Musk and we look beyond state legislatures and Congress, technology is changing and usage is shifting due to these changes and because of general habits, right? Young social media users, they view Facebook as a place their parents go and other old people go. They're increasingly interested in TikTok and Snapchat. And the next big thing, I think, is going to be virtual reality. Facebook thinks it's going to dominate the virtual reality space. Now, I completely disagree with that, but it doesn't matter. No matter who dominates it, one thing's for certain. Like we were just talking about, the Internet of 1996 is very different, or was very different, from the Internet of 2022. In 26 years from now, in 2048, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that the Internet is going to be completely unrecognizable.
All right. We'll put that down to be topic one in 2048 when we talk. Why do you doubt Facebook will dominate the virtual reality space?
I doubt it because I think it's going to be I don't think people are comfortable with giving everything up to Facebook. Uh-huh. Virtual reality requires giving up a lot of data. I think for Facebook, that ship has sailed because of what has happened. And I think it's going to be a technology giant, not a social media giant, that leads it. So I think Apple, which is talking about coming out with these VR glasses and AR glasses, I think that's going to be where everybody turns next.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let's get to the Genius Bar here and a question from a listener on our text line. Scott says, something has changed on Facebook. I have a notification. Then when I click on it, it takes me to someone else's. It's annoying. Do you understand what this is?
I actually do. There is only one way that something like this can happen. Well, there's two ways. I think it may be one, but the two ways are if you manage a page or manage anybody else's account, and you're signed into that page or someone else's account, and you click, it is possible you can be taken over there. Now, the other one is, if you're talking about this is your only account, you've never switched between accounts, it is possible that someone tried to add your email or your phone number to an account and created a new account with that email or phone number. So much like when someone fills out a credit card application with your social security number and they'd act as you, that's the equivalent here, or the possibility of the equivalent here. So if that's happened, what you need to do is go to facebook.com/help. That's their help section. And you need to search for report an imposter account. And what it will do is it will ask you questions. What's happening when this happens to you? And it will actually ask you, are you seeing other notifications? Because it could just be that someone, it's not supposed to work. You're not supposed to be able to ever use someone else's phone number or email. It should say that phone number and email is already in use. But technology's fickle, things happen. And I think in that case, if I'm right, and if you don't manage anybody else's page, it could be that. And that's something that you should be able to get help from Facebook.
If you've got a question for Scott, you can get it to us a couple of ways. Text 312-981-7200 or email bobshow@wgnradio.com. Thank you, Scott. Talk to you next week.
Take care, Bob.